temperance, self-control, self-denial in training. This is required in every athlete. And the first area of self-control is diet. That's big. I don't think too many of us here would be fit to swallow what athletes must swallow to keep their bodies in shape. Years ago, it used to be a diet of steak and eggs for athletes. Now it's nutritious bars and shakes of all kinds. So diets can change, but diet is important. And when you become a Christian, your diet is all important.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're continuing on the whole theme of running for the prize, 1 Corinthians 9, as today we let the Bible speak from our pulpit ministry here. We also have a hymn by the Whitfield Choir, Here I Am, Lord, and I hope that every one of us will be upon the altar of service as we seek to serve the Lord in these days. Our question and answer today is, how do we value a sermon? It is obvious from the text, 2 Timothy 4:2, that God wanted Timothy to never give up on preaching. But what if people do give up on preaching? That is the issue of the value of a sermon and why we are to preach in season and out of season. I fear that preaching and sermons have fallen out of season. There is little appetite for the Word of God. I was also startled to discover that about 12 years after the peak of Martin Luther's preaching in the 1500s, he complained that people were no more interested. They seemed to be filled to the top with it. Some in our age are crying, give us more worship and less preaching. They perceive that praise and worship is apart from the sermon. Sermons have been around for a long time. Perhaps some may feel that the store is filled in our age of libraries and digital access to so many sermons in text and audio, the whole art of preaching is winding down. Some might think that I am pleading here for job security when I build a case for live preaching face-to-face and heart-to-heart between preacher and hearer. But I do say with all my conviction that this is ever God's way to bless his people. The great C.H. Spurgeon said, I do not look for any other means of converting men beyond the simple preaching of the gospel and the opening of men's ears to hear it. The moment the Church of God shall despise the pulpit, God will despise her. It has been through the ministry that the Lord has always been pleased to revive and bless his churches. Luther maintained, the preacher's mouth and the words that I hear are not his. They are the words and the message of the Holy Spirit through which he works within me, and thus he makes me holy. What is preaching anyway? Can we answer this clearly? When it is all boiled down, it is to bring men and women to God. Preaching is God's Spirit working through the written word, through a living earthly vessel, to call men and women to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the devil hates preaching. His work is to silence the preacher. Satan is happy, of course, when the gospel sits in a musty book or on a dusty bookshelf. But once a man steps forward in God's name saying, Thus saith the Lord, hear ye the word of the Lord, the devil fears for his slaves in sin. Today, as I speak to you about preaching, I must really speak about hearing sermons. Just as men ought not to preach without preparation, men ought not to hear without preparation. Preaching is a two-way work of God's appointing. He calls the minister to preach and charges him to be instant in every season. He also calls men and women to hear. When our Lord preached, he often said, If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And Amos said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Has that famine come upon us here in Canada? It's time to address this issue and call men of our generation to the hearing of God's word, the preached word. My burden is for all to see that sermon preaching and hearing is for God's glory. It is God's chief means of grace for men's souls. More grace or spiritual manna comes from heaven upon souls through preaching than by any other means. I do appreciate you staying tuned with us here on Let the Bible Speak as we bring to you the Word of God. And you may pick up the burden that we have that we might call this generation back to God, to His Word, and to the living preaching of the gospel. I trust that you will come and join with us. Oh, may the Lord draw near and fill us with power that we may preach the gospel in all its fullness. This is Ian Gallagher. It is my great privilege to share with you the message of the gospel. Stay tuned with us now as we turn to our message, part two of Running for the Prize. Set your face for heaven. Without His passion and zeal in your soul, you'll never run the race of faith. It's the internal work of the Spirit in the heart. Another parallel I see here that Paul takes up is this immortal or incorruptible prize to be won. And that's why I drew your attention to verse 25. You'll notice, really, it's a contrast rather than a parallel. And it says here, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You know, that wreath of pine needles. Is it really worth it? How long do pine needles last? Not so long when they're wilting in the heat. They do it for a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. And of course, Paul is speaking here of the crown of glory that awaits the believer in heaven when we run the race of faith. Here on earth, our Olympians, they receive gold, silver, and bronze. Even that will burn up. Even that loses its earthly hue. I read of one athlete who won, I believe it was an Olympian prize in the past, and someone visiting wanted to see his medal. And so they went looking for it. And where did they find it? In the sock drawer. After a period of time, its significance really diminished. Eric Liddell, who was the athlete who would not run on the Lord's Day in the Paris Olympics, 1920. He had won so many medals over the years as a runner that his mother's house was coming down with them. And when he went away off to China, what did he do? He cashed them in. Disposed of them. These things are limited in value. But we, as Christians running this race of faith, our motivation, our final result is the incorruptible crown that awaits every believer. When we see the Lord, what glory we shall enter into. And then notice something else, that in these earthly races, all run, but one receives the prize. And of course, we see the interviews with those who gain medals, but if you were to interview those who perhaps were in fourth place and missed a medal by 3/100ths of a second, what kind of disappointment is that? It can be bitter. And Paul points out here that in the running of this race, all run, but one receiveth the prize. So there's no guarantees here. It could be on the mood of the moment. It could be on the finest little detail, maybe the way the wind blows at that corner that can make the difference. But for the Christian, all receive the prize. Everyone here that's born again, running this race of faith, having turned your back on the world, you're sure of glory.
Your race is worth it. Absolutely worth it. Whatever the denial, whatever the changes you have to make, whatever you have to cut off to run the race of faith, it's worth it. Because you're guaranteed eternal glory. Back to the temperance now in verse 25. Here's a great parallel between the Christian life and the athlete. Temperance, self-control, self-denial in training. This is required in every athlete. And the first area of self-control is diet. That's big. I don't think too many of us here would be fit to swallow what athletes must swallow to keep their bodies in shape. Years ago, it used to be a diet of steak and eggs for athletes. Now it's nutritious bars and shakes of all kinds. So diets can change, but diet is important. And when you become a Christian, your diet is all important. What you feed on, what you imbibe into your heart and mind is going to majorly affect your running the race of faith. That's why Peter said to desire the sincere milk of the word. That's why we are to grow in grace. That's why we are to do all we can to feed, to nourish the soul. Now, if you're not doing that, you're not running the race of faith. You're sitting down. You're losing out. Then there's the training and the discipline that's demanded. The hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and maybe months of sheer boredom. Just training. And likewise, in the Christian life, there is this training, this discipline. It's a lifestyle of spiritual discipline. And sometimes it's as simple as getting your Bible and giving yourself to it. That doesn't mean you read and meditate while the television's on, while the phone's ringing, and there's a whole hustle and bustle going on in your life. No, that's not the discipline that's required. What did the Lord Jesus say? He talked about the closet, the private, quiet time. It's required. There is no Christian yet that advanced far in the things of God without that discipline. How much of the Bible do you read? How much of the Bible do you really digest? It's going to affect how you run. And then, of course, there is that opportunity to come and feed on God's word in his house. And I think the Christian attitude should be that everything that helps me to run the race, I'm going to do it. That's what an athlete would do. If you said to an athlete a week or a month before the race and said to them, now, if you do this, I know it's horrible, I know it's not very nice, but I tell you, it'll help you to win the race. They'll do it. They'll do it. And so the Christian's attitude should be, anything that will enable me, give me the advantage to be a spiritual runner in the race of faith, I'll do it. I'll do it. Can we say that's true? Do we make use of every opportunity to feed, to nourish, to go on with God? Now, the last issue here in these parallels is down in verse 26, 27, where Paul talks about managing the body, subduing the body. And he takes up athletic language. It's really the language of the boxing ring or the pugilist. And he says there, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Can you imagine the boxer? And he's in practice mode and he's beating the air. Paul says, that's not what I do. I don't go around beating the air. In other words, it's just pretense. You know, anybody can do that.
Kids do it, parents do it, you get the fists up and you pretend you're ready for the fight. But you're not really going to fight. Paul says here, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now many people live the Christian life and it's all a game. It really is. It's just a pretense. What does he say then? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, Greek scholars tell us that this language is really the boxer, and every time the opponent comes near, he hooks him right under the eye and puts him down. And every time he gets up, he puts him down. He's intent in subduing his opponent. Now, you and I have an opponent as a Christian that we contend against, and it's this body. The lusts, the passions, the sin desires of the human body. And as a Christian in the race of faith, we have a major issue controlling, subduing the body. And of course, it becomes the downfall of many.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on our program today. May the Lord bless you richly. We want to be of some personal help, and we offer our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazines and other literature free of charge. If you need a Bible, a word of advice, or have a prayer request, we look forward to hearing from you. We invite you to join us for each program and to join in our weekly services by webcast. You can go to our website for all the information, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. Stay tuned with us through the broadcast and we'll give you further information on the local church who sponsors these broadcasts. Our burden truly is to let the Bible speak. Our prayer is that God will speak to you through His Word. Through the reading and preaching the Word of God, we simply let the Bible speak to your heart. You will find that we also let the Bible speak in our live church webcasts on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. If you cannot reach us through our website, letthebiblespeak.ca, then please call us toll-free, 1-800-969-1091. That's 1-800-969-1091. May the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus fill your heart today as we let the Bible speak and as you stay tuned with us for the message of God's Word today.
And here is what Paul says he did himself. He's not advocating it to others here. He's saying, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That's not an armchair Christianity. That's not a worldly Christianity. That's not carnal Christianity. That is hating the flesh, resisting temptation, taking measures to subdue the passions of the flesh. That's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. Sometimes it's called sanctification. Sometimes it's called mortification. But it's all a part of living the Christian life. You cannot take the position, I'm saved, that's it. That's it. No, you can't do that. Here's the language. Here's the parallels that is given for us. And this analogy is appropriate. We're to subdue every sinful thing, even in our own bodies. Now, can you think of the effort that an athlete uses to try and train the body so that every muscle, every sinew, every part of the body is functioning so that it works together for the mastery of the game. And of course now with high-tech stuff, you've got all kinds of suits and gear that can give people the advantage. Maybe there's an idea for Christian dress. Maybe a parallel there too. Sometimes dress is an issue. And a Christian certainly shouldn't dress to give the devil the advantage, or to give the lust of the flesh the advantage. Rather, there is this subduing, this putting down. And we can only do that through prayer, through meditating on God's Word, through the work of the Spirit in our lives. But it is a fight, and it is a discipline. Are you entering into that? That's why we like to see you at every meeting in the church. That's why we want to see you in prayer. That's why as a pastor, I tremble at Christians that have no interest in prayer. How can we live this discipline without the Spirit of God and without power from Him? That's the work of the Christian life. And then lastly, the race depicts the perseverance required in the Christian life. You'll notice the closing words of Paul in this chapter. He says, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And very quickly, there's a few things I need to say on this. Number one, this race is lifelong. It's from the cross to glory, from Calvary to heavenly New Jerusalem. That's the length of the race. And we're to keep running till the day we die and enter into glory. We must strive with perseverance. You see, when you're born again and the Holy Spirit lives within you, there will be perseverance. Where there is no perseverance, there is danger of being a castaway. And Paul says that even though I preach the gospel, if I don't live the disciplined life, I myself may be a castaway. Fearful words. Fearful words. You see, if you're really saved, you will have the spirit of perseverance. You will want to fight the flesh. And you will hate the day that the flesh gets the victory over you. You will tremble in your weakness whenever you don't triumph over the flesh. And you will rise up again, and you will seek by God's grace to be an overcomer. But those who just lie down and allow the flesh and the world to rule them, well, they certainly have no assurance of eternal life. This is the fearful thing. And if we are not living the disciplined life we have taken and allowed laziness to overcome, then we're in a fearful state. I trust today that this whole analogy, this whole scene that the apostle depicts will give you and me a clearer picture of what it is to live the Christian life. You cannot lie down and give in. You cannot say, God is in control, I have nothing to do. No, we are called to a high and holy calling. And our conversion is not just a date on the calendar, it is now a race that we're to run with all our energy and all our strength, and lament when we don't have strength, and yearn for more of the Spirit that we may get the victory. And as I say, the race begins at Calvary. Have you been to Calvary? Have you sought the cleansing power of the Savior's blood? If so, the race has begun. Keep your eye on the goal. Don't look to the world. Don't look behind. Press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep the body in control and persevere. Persevere. The doctrine of the final perseverance of the saints is not a doctrine that produces laziness, but rather the discipline that is required that we run for God. And may the Lord make us all to run this faith. Never give up. Persevere. Even though you stumble, get up and run. That's the call, this high and holy calling, to run the race of faith. May the Lord keep us looking for that incorruptible crown that will never fade away. Hallelujah. This is a great race we're on. May we keep our eye on that goal.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.